Chema. So we continue with the Srimad Bhagavat Puran. And as we know that there are modern mind, which is only about what is material is real, which personally I feel is a very crude and vulgar idea of life. Even if we look at a human being, just a human being. And all of us know that behind our visible actions, there's a whole world. And if you don't know that world, you may mistake my smile, you may mistake a gesture, and so much confusion is this world because we only see the outer and regard it as real. And there are so many stories of Mother and Aurobindo, which she could speak, the plants would go and speak to her, even before event has happened, that the banyan tree in Auroville, that they are planning to cut me. And then the mother asked the people, he said, Mother, but we have not told anyone, we just thought about it. And our own nursing home, there is the nursing home in the ashram, there is a very interesting story that someone wanted to donate the nursing home, that place, it has been built later on. So he discussed with his children and then he thought that tomorrow I'll go and offer it to the mother. So next day morning he had a call, Amrita told him that, mother wants to see you. So he went there. He said, so you want to offer that land? He said, Mother, how do you know all this? So there is a whole world, let us be very clear, that Puranas have been written by the rishis who could see behind the material curtain. And that's where we were speaking of evidence. Well, material senses cannot be evidence of anything beyond what they show and what we hear. And anybody who has lived life even a little and seen oneself will know that what is shown to the world is not what is the full truth of the matter. I mean, one has to be outright foolish to believe that what I am showing or what others are seeing or what I am seeing is true. So seeing is believing may be right for an outright materialist, but there is a whole world. And we know how much confusion is created in the world because of this. So the seers saw what is behind the material curtain. And it was not always possible to express it the way they saw it because human mind cannot understand. And to give an example, if you read Dante's Divine Comedy, which is again another kind of seeing. So when you go to the last scene, it is very difficult to get what is happening because it's not taking place in a three-dimensional or four-dimensional platform. And the mother speaks about it, that you can understand spiritual life, true spiritual life, only when you enter the fourth dimension. Of course, he's not talking of fourth dimension of time, but there are several dimensions. String theory is now they have come that there are several dimensions in which events happen. And some of them are clubbed with each other, smushed with each other, and very strangely, even atomic theories are moving in that direction, but that's not the subject. So to see them the way the rishis saw them, then they experienced them, and they heard them, and often in, for instance, Bhagavad Purana, we'll see certain words which will come, that he heard the voice, go, go. You know, you remember Sri Aurobindo heard Sri Ramakrishna telling him, Mandir gado, Mandir gado. Now he understood that he is not asking him to make a Kali temple. He understood that. And if you read Savitri, it comes in Discovery of the Soul, that where it speaks of a temple is built inside. So Mandir gado is not about building an outer temple, but that's how he heard Sri Ramakrishna's voice. And another time he heard about Sri Ramakrishna telling him the serpent biting its tail. Now, normally you would say, what is that serpent biting the tail? But it is the story of evolution. And that's a different subject, but very fascinating. How your greatest difficulty is the door to the greatest possibility. That's what is serpent biting its tail. So there are many images used in the Puranas, which are, it's not that images are all imagination. No, they are the closest approximation to a deeper reality, which sometimes we cannot experience by the senses. One last thing, I know of a person who was in the service of Champaklalji, and he used to experience four hands suddenly coming up, two his own and two subtle hands. And it was so concrete because he had the faculty of vision open. to take care of him. And it became very tangible because something is slipping because of this extra hand. It would not fall on the floor. So this just to say that there are worlds beyond. There are realms beyond. There are faculties greater than the human. And this is what the rishis saw, based on which they wrote the stories. They wrote it in a story form so that we can get the message and the lesson and live our life according to that. That's how we see in Bharat. Very interestingly, when you read the Puranas, it says it contains cosmology, it contains genealogy. There are other things also. It contains about the gods and the asuras. So what is cosmology? Cosmology of the Purana begins with the Trinity and before that the Adi Shakti. So normally cosmology is all about the Big Bang, and you know, you have. So now scientists are saying, what was there before the Big Bang? Nobody really knows. Big Bang is only the material universe. And as I keep saying, that if material universe is all, then all thought, speculation, all this is meaningless. First we must understand. So I've had doctor friends who would, you know, suddenly say, but neurons are everything. So I said, then your word and my word has no meaning at all, because it's a babble of the neurons. My neurons versus your neurons, then there is no you. So you claim yourself to be a doctor, but you are as much an idiot as I am. No, you can't say like that. I said, that's the problem. Your intuitive sense will not allow that, because something within you knows there is a self. How you define it is a different matter. So all this just to say that there is a whole world which is behind the physical, tangible world, which Puranas speak about, and they do go back to the three original powers, and which we see operative everywhere. Even in the atom you will see electron, proton, neutron. These three powers are everywhere. The powers that build creation, the powers that sustain creation, and the powers that destroy. So Srimad Bhagavat Puran, very interestingly, takes into account all the three, because it's about the fourth power which stands behind creation, without which creation would not have any meaning, and because of which all the other three powers have emerged, and that's the Ananda. So it's about the secret bliss which is behind. That's what Sri Krishna is. Krishna literally is the power that attracts all things towards himself. Krishna comes from that. So you have Akarshan, Vikarshan, all of them come from the same root. The power that attracts. And that's why he's such an attractive God to everyone. So with this little background, now we come into the realm of stories, which every time we take up a story, and there's a very interesting story, many of us may have read it, is the story of Dhruv. So I don't know how many have read it. We used to have it in our Hindi textbook long back. So the story of Dhruv is, last time we read about before the earth is formed. Now earth is formed, somebody has to take care of it. And the story starts with a king called Uttanapada. So if you take that, Pada is feet, Uttan, so leg is lifted up. That's his name. Meaning thereby, now he is in a position, if you take a freeze photo frame, he is going to move, but he doesn't know which way he'll move. That's what the name signifies. He has two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. Again, very obvious. The two wives are nothing else but two aspects of nature, which in Kathopanishad they put it very beautifully, Shreyas and Prayas. So Suruchi is all that attracts us. And Suniti is the wise counsel, the discerning intellect. See how beautifully it is describing. So you have Suruchi and you have Suniti. And Suruchi has a son called Uttama. He is good. But Suniti has a son which is Dhruv. Dhruv is that which is steadfast, which holds to, you know, it's the power of concentration literally, which can hold, and because it has this power inbuilt within it, it can arrive at anything. So as the story goes, so one day, the king is sitting in the court, in his hall, Raj Sabha, with his wife Suruchi. He is fond of Suruchi. And Suruchi has in her lap her son Uttam, which she hands over to the father, Uttanapad, and so they are playing with the child. At that point of time, Dhruv enters. So when Dhruv enters, he's a little baby, 5-year-old, and he says, I do want to sit in my papa's lap. Natural. So Ruchi says, you don't deserve it. He is right now as the king. And to sit in the lap of the king, you have to be the higher apparent. You are in the Sabha. This is not your home. My son is the higher apparent. You see, if you say this story slowly, this whole meaning will be decoded once you have this background. So Dhruv is very deeply wounded. And he goes and tells his mother, naturally. Mother is Suniti. What does Suniti tell him? She says, see, what she has told you is logically correct. You are the younger son and she is dearest to your father. He can decide whom he wants to make the higher apparent. Since your father didn't say anything, you can't just go and revolt against him, because anyways you are the younger one. So you won't get the throne. Now, this just to make clarify what is the younger one and what is the elder one. So always in spiritual literature, elder is the mind and the younger is the psychic being. In Vedas, you will see the Agni is described as a Balaka, because he's the last one to burn. Last thing that comes in human consciousness is the fire of aspiration. When it comes, everything is wonderful. Whole story of Laddu Gopal is about this psychic being, the last that emerges. Where does he emerge? In the jail of Kansa. Ego, which wants to capture him. So in the beginning, when the spiritual aspiration awakens, everything in the mind and the desires of the vital don't want it to grow. Don't want, because they know he will one day sit on the throne. Father is the ego. And then what will happen? We have to, you know, lose our... So this is the tussle which happens in everybody. The moment the psychic, before that there is no conflict. That's why people, when they come to spiritual life, many people who come here, they find, you know, what is happening in my life? Well, old ways are leaving you. Even if you don't leave, they'll torment you, because now the new struggle has started. So now she tells Dhruv, technically, logically, your dad is right. But she gives him a way. He says, by anger, by revolt, this is not going to help. What will help? See, the king of kings is Vishnu. You pray to him. Maybe he will listen to you and make you a king. This is what she says. So beautifully. So always we had this meaning of Samrat had two meanings. Shobindo speaks about it. Swaraj had two meanings. Swaraj. Self-mastery. Swaraj, outwardly you are free. Samrat, sam. The man who has mastered himself becomes the Samrat. Swaraj, Swarat and Samrat. And then comes Arihant, which in Jain literature you have, about perfection. So there is a parallel storyline running. So Dhruv says, all right, I'll do tapasya to please Vishnu. Naradji, who is always active, he is a divine messenger. Once Sri Aurobindo was asked, have you seen, what about Narada? He says, once I saw him flying in the overmind regions as if it is his natural state. So he is the one who communicates between the higher God. That's why he is a demigod. Demigod means that someone who was born human who becomes a demigod. So Narada was a celestial being who takes a human birth. That story we have spoken about. So Narad comes and tells him, see, you are doing this tapasya to ultimately claim your throne. That's his motive, that, you know, his mother has said, don't fight like Darashiko. Okay? Don't become Aurangzeb. If you want to claim the throne in the right way, you go to the seat of the creator. This we see always in Indian thought. Go to the seat of the creator. Where destiny is written. Why it is written? Find the truth, and if you can please him, fine. So he is going for that. So Narada first comes and counsels him. He says, see, all this is one way you can approach, but another way is that you can accept destiny and you can take it as an opportunity to go within and go get the highest possible possibility of moksha. This little detail is important in the story. Dhruv says, my heart is on fire. Don't talk about moksha and all that. I respect you, seer. Right now I have a different problem altogether. This is not my problem. I don't want moksha. I want to reclaim the throne. I have been unjustly removed and I need to do that. So he goes and does a tapasya. This we all may be aware. There was a movie also made on this. Dhruv, of course, there is a little aside to the story where Goddess Lakshmi wants to help him. But Vishnu Bhagavan tells him, no, don't do this. Don't interfere. Let him do the tapasya. He has to be a claimant. Then Lakshmiji on the aside tells Narad, please help him, no? Vishnu Bhagavan will. He is a hard taskmaster. You please help. So in the original story, you see many things. Narad comes and helps him here and there because he's doing in a forest. And meanwhile, King, he has become very distraught because he loved him. He knows that because of me, this has happened. So he goes, but he cannot find him. This is another detail of the story. He cannot find him because now this is the psychic essence which has gone withdrawn inside. And he goes into depression. So he has, everything was going well. Now he is depressed. He doesn't eat. So the whole household is in a state of unhappiness. And meanwhile, Dhruv does the tapasya. After a long time, Vishnu Bhagavan appears. So he asks what you want to ask. So he says, this is my problem. And I want to go beyond what my brother has achieved. Now see what a kind of ambition is coming in. So he says, okay, if you have asked this, you deserve it. I'll give you the highest possible status, which even the gods and my own people cannot get because you deserve it rightly. So that's where he described, there is a world which never changes, unchanging. In my understanding, it's a place where overmind, supermind are meeting together. He says, even my people, they, because when you are there, all the other beings will rotate around you, will move around you. You can enter into that world of unchanging bliss. So, but right now you go back, fulfill all your things which you have to do. Then at the end, I am promising this to you. So he comes back. Now he is blessed by Lord Vishnu. Now you see the beauty. So when you go back, when you are blessed by the Lord, then you get not only yog vibhuti, you get also the sansar vibhuti. You see, look at Sri Aurobindo, renounced everything. But look at Sri Aurobindo, the world knows about him. Look at Vivekananda, renounced everything. Sri Ramakrishna, absolutely not studied. But because this is the law, the moment you get that, this is like, you don't value it, but you get it. That's the process. So when he comes back, now his father is jubilant. He says, this was a mistake, I'm going to correct it. So he becomes the king. He gets both. Though this is not what he wanted. He wanted to, he said, that's okay. Because if you have that desire and do it, you cannot get it. This is the catch. So he didn't say that I want to be the king in place of my brother. He doesn't say that. He said, I want the highest which anybody can ever achieve. And when Vishnu Bhagavan gives him this, before coming, there is a little aside to the story, which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Puran itself. Dhruv feels bad. Why he feels bad? He says, I could have asked the ultimate which Narad had asked me to ask. But I was moved with so much of anguish. Because in fact, Bhagavad describes, even when he sees Vishnu Bhagavan, there is a little bit of anguish somewhere inside him still. Because that was the moving point. So your core aspiration, what has triggered the whole thing, is always remains right up to there. So there will always be a difference between those who, because of the worldly pain, turn towards the divine. And in those who have things in life, there is no apparent pain. I mean, there is some pain always there. but who, in spite of having everything, turns toward the divine. In fact, Sri Ramakrishna has described this, Shorbindra has also described it, as there is hope for two. One who, you know, who is a unlettered peasant. He has nothing really in life, so he turns to the divine. If he takes it seriously, he will arrive. And other who, having read, learned, achieved things, still understand the limitations and wants to go beyond. A very beautiful cryptic saying. And then Sri Ramakrishna, because he is, you know, he said, and for the rest, the pandits and all, they are lost. Because they believe they know, they are someone, the king. So basically at some point you have to understand the limitations. So who understands the limitations? One who, as they say, who has nothing. And the other who has everything and yet understand that this cannot satisfy the thirst of my soul, who seeks for something further. So Dhruv is somewhere caught in between. He has not understood the limitations. He has experienced a pain and he wants to come out of that pain. And Lord Vishnu comes, gives him everything because he deserves it. Tapasya always brings result in any field, any direction we do it. So then a whole story continues. He rules very nicely. There are some wars which he fights. All that is as an aside against the Yakshas. And he is so nice that once his, after some time, his stepmother, that is Suruchi, and this boy Uttam, they leave and go because they can't bear all this. So they leave and go. They go into the jungle. They are caught by the Gandharvas. When Dhruv comes to know, he goes to save them. He saves them. He says, you can't do this. So they shown the nobility of his character. And then, of course, they meet their own fate. They die in a forest fire. So that's like, Shobindo says in yoga, he describes it like this, that you have a cup. So the difference between ordinary life and yoga is that in ordinary life, you taste the tasty things in the beginning. But as the cup becomes emptier and emptier, it becomes bitter and bitter. The poison is at the end. So you enjoy life. Everything is wonderful. After some time, nothing will happen. You will stop having charm. So you will start turning here and there. Then you will stop. As I was mentioning, a very dear friend, super genius, who engaged in supercomputers, one of the first pioneers, one day suddenly comes to my home in Pune. I was studying and says, I want to get married. I said, you just got married, isn't it? He said, yes, but I want to get married again. So four marriages were over. This fourth one lasted 15 days. So I said, what do you want from me? He said, no, I have found the girl. Nobody will come and sign in the court. You please come and sign for me. I said, okay, you want me to become a party too? I said, all right, how long this will last, I don't know. Sure enough, this too didn't last. But slowly, all this made him understand. This is to understand the Leela of the Lord. He is one of those who came to meet Champaklalji. He did a lot of work on Savitri. And the day he met Champaklalji first time, he knows nothing about him. Champaklalji took out relics and gave him. So there is an inner story which is going on, which is known to the divine. So when he goes there, these two, as I was saying that, in normal life, there is bitterness, there is sweetness in the beginning, it becomes bitter over a period of time. People pactize with it, it's a different thing, or they turn to God in, you know, as to get relief. But in yoga, beginning is the bitter cup. It's not easy because you have to detach and all this, you know, concentrate, and there are so many attractions. But if you have turned to the divine, he will make sure, if your turning is genuine, he will make sure that, you know, everything is snatched away from you. Jake tumi bhoite chaho apar premer bhar, eke bare sobe tumi ghochaye dao tar, na thake tar man apaman, na thake tar dhan, tumi karo ekla akinchan. This is very interesting because the divine wants to give you the highest. But what we do is we cry. And so we waste a whole life. But there are some wise people who say, oh, that's it. They understand the nature of life, its limitations. And then they turn toward the highest. This is the story of Dhruv, that he understood. See, the difference between the yogin and everybody starts. Shivadu says that everybody starts with the same baseline. Fundamental experience of thodi khushi, thoda gham, sukh, dukh. Yes, everybody has. The difference is the person marked for yoga understands it very fast. And he understands that this cannot fulfill my spirit's sacred thirst. Now see how I am connecting this story to another very interesting play of the mother. So the play of the mother is toward the future. Same story. Dhruv faces pain in life, personal suffering. Now you can generalize the story. Now his first reaction was to get angry, to complain, to probably overthrow. But his mother is Suniti. Suniti tells him, this is not the path. Destiny has ordained it, find out. There is some lesson in destiny. Go and speak to the seat of the creator. Ask him. Ask him. He will give you anything. So this is a path. And in mother's story, it's a play toward the future. It's based on mother's own life, incidentally. It's not mentioned there. Nowhere you will find it mentioned. So there is a lady who is in love with a painter. The mother's life is there. And this painter falls in love with a clairvoyant. And one day she sees them together. So they are trying to, you know, explain and all this. But the mother, it's in the story, it's not the mother, it's the lady. She says, no, no, you don't have to do anything. I understand your need for love, which I cannot fill because you have a certain kind of need. I am not meant for that. But I would only give you one advice, that make this beautiful. It's an amazing story. She's not reacting, angry, oh, you get me divorced, nothing. He says, at least make this story beautiful. As for me, she says, at the end of the play, I know that no human love can quench my thirst. And she turns to the, obviously we know the rest is history. The same man with whom she came here and, you know. And see what happens in the story. The mother actually never gave divorce or anything. He sent, after a long time, divorce papers. So mother laughs. He says, oh, he needs this, sign it quickly and send it. Right, I want nothing. So you see the story of, and same with Sri Aurobindo. When Lali Devi died, what does Sri Aurobindo write to his father-in-law? He says, please do everything. He says, this is the one sorrow which could still touch my heart. And he says, do everything that Milali wanted to do when she was in a body. As for me, 1918 letter, okay? See the love of the Lord. As for me, if you have some books of hers which she has signed, please send it because I have nothing of hers with me. Signed books. People crave for Sri Aurobindo's signed books. This is the heart. So this story which is there in the Puranas is an eternal truth of human life. That always we have a choice between Suruchi and Suniti. We can follow the path of Suruchi, which is instant gratification. We get a place, we get a throne, but the end is horror. Or we follow the path of Suniti, which is to strive for the highest. And then this same event turns into a catalyst for something much greater. Okay, this is the basic thing in counseling. I mean, people come with sorrow, suffering. And so this is the story of Dhruv. Very clearly symbol, beautiful symbol. Again, whether it actually physically happened or not, it's not important. The importance of events, as Sri Aurobindo says in Essays on the Gita, action and events have no importance in themselves but for the idea that they represent and the force that is there to manifest the idea. So today in Mahabharata, whether it happened or not, that's not important. But it gives us, leaves a lesson for us. That's what is important. So this was the way of the author of the you know, Srimad Bhagavat Puran. And then there is a lineage of Dhruv. So then you will see that there are nice events, then all kinds of kings. So there is the fluctuation of time. Now whenever when things have to change, so this is described. And then a change is going to come. It's very interesting. It goes into continuation. So when a change has to come, then in the family of Dhruv, there is born a prince by the name of Vain. Not English word Vain, though his all his life is like Vain. Who is very cruel. And there is a story before his birth. His father is a king called Ang. And his wife, I'm forgetting her name. So I think wife is daughter of Mrityu. It's all very clearly symbolic. So she is daughter of Mrityu. And they are married. And he has to have a child, but the child is not coming. So he has a Putra Kameshti Yagya. He wants to please the gods, but the gods don't accept the sacrifice. So he says, what's wrong with me? I mean, everything I'm doing, he says, you are a good guy. And destiny has, however, there was something which was there in your life earlier. So destiny has deprived you of a son. Take it as destiny and you'll be fine. See, I've seen this in my own life, so many people I interact with. He says, no, I must have a child. It's, you know. So they say, okay, then you do this yagya. So one is what destiny has given you. You don't accept it. So you struggle. So he prays. He prays too. And of course, Srihari. So ways of the Lord. So a very beautiful Purusha comes out of the yagya who gives him kheer. Kheer is very interesting. Kheer, kheer shagar, ocean of milk. It's always the knowledge. It represents that knowledge. Mata Parvati makes kheer, no, in Kailash. Very tasty kheer. So it's the knowledge which liberates you. So here it's a kheer which can, if the ladies of the house drink, they'll conceive like King Dashrath. So, but with King Dashrath, it's King Vasishtha Rishi, and the kheer comes, which he gives to all of them. We know the story of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughan. It doesn't mean that there was no physical act involved. Okay, by the way, just people say, how can you drink? So we have to understand it's a knowledge which is the secret knowledge. And there are other processes. So, anyways, the kheer is taken by this lady who is daughter of Mrityu. Now she conceives from this good king, and this daughter of Mrityu is full of ambition. Same thing happened with Pulastha Muni, who is Rishi, who is the son of Brahma, and his wife Kaikashi. So this conjunction where marriage and having a child, how it can be so dangerous. And they gave birth to Ravan, Kumbhakaran. The last one, of course, turned out to be okay, Vibhishan. So that's another very interesting story. So she gives birth to this boy who is so, right from beginning, cruel. This is a blessing or a curse? We'll know later. Apparently it's a curse. So one day they try to change him, but he doesn't change. Rishi Muni go to change him. He say, I don't care for what you say. I am the king. King is everything. I am the king. So Rishi Munis curse him. It is very interesting how they curse him. In fact, before they curse him, the king goes away from the kingdom. Ang. You can even narrate it to an inner story. There are beings whose consciousness becomes so much possessed by very dark forces that the psychic being leaves. Mother has spoken about it. Psychic being leaves completely. So the king goes away. So now the same event turns into something nice, because he had to anyways turn toward the divine. That's why divine had not given any child. But now he turns toward the divine with all this pain. So he says, in fact, that I should have accepted destiny happily, but I have not done it. So he says that still God has been very kind. If you read that passage, it's very amazing. Why God is kind? He says, Had he given me a good child, I would have got very much attached to him and lost my path. But in his infinite kindness, Sri Hari gave me this child. So I will never forget him. Because of the child, he can't forget him. He says, but now the time has come. I have tried everything. I need to go. So he achieves liberation. So if you look at it, on the face of it, what seems to be a bad destiny, seen another way, turns out to be in a beautiful... Again, it's very interesting and helpful in counseling also, by the way. Because always you can turn things in a different direction. So he goes, he meets his destiny. What about this man? Vain. So... Rishis do nothing. They just do hunkar out of... They try to tell him. Because see, you are a king. King has certain responsibilities. Please. He doesn't care. And then they just, as the story goes, they do hunkar. And he dies. And the description is very interesting. He was already dead because of his deeds. Meaning thereby his soul had left. His king had left. Now it was just the last act. So when he dies... This chaos. There was already chaos in the kingdom. You can narrate it even to modern times. So when Vain was king, just before that, there were a lot of dacoits and bandits. Now people had a very strange choice. On one side was Vain, a king who was exploiting the earth and everyone. And when the king dies, all these robbers and everybody had a field. So it was like, many of these robbers were in collusion with this king. So people were, you know, they were feeling the pain. Because either ways, king is a horror. And those who look after him, Gundaraj and the politician, joint, it's a horror. So when Vain dies, they say, now we have to have, because now all these Gundas will have a field full. So till then, there is no proper kingship like that. As per the Purana goes. So they bring out, so they do a ritual sacrifice in which out of Vain's thighs comes a dwarf. They describe it very picturesquely, we need not go into that. And this dwarf which comes out absorbs all the sins of this man. And then he becomes himself a lootpat karne wala. A fellow who becomes a lutera. You know, Shobhinda at one place says that admire also the titan and the asura, they have taken into themselves the poison of earth nature. I could go on, this is a whole subject because it's the same story during Sagar Manthan. So when Shiva drinks the poison, why are snakes dear to him? Snakes also drink the poison. So they become creatures whom everybody is scared of. So there are always in creation beings, limited number, who have swallowed the poison of the earth. Obviously they create a problem. Why they are there? They serve a purpose. But all that is for later on. We'll come to the story. In a certain sense, they ultimately, your aspiration becomes like we see in the story of Dhruv. So anyways, so... They do a yajna. From his thighs comes this dwarf humanity, if you may say, not developed, which carries the poison. In that, they are called as nishads, who roam in the forest and who are doing all kinds of, chori and dakiti. Now, after that has gone, because first you have to release the poison of earth nature. That's what we see happening now. That's what we see in human life. Before one really gets ready for the full evolution, certain things have to go out of the nature. It's a very painful process. Everywhere, first the wish comes, Kalkut. Then comes Amrit. If you're not ready for Kalkut, you cannot get Amrit. So you see the same story, now written in a different way. First they extract the poison. Now from the body of Vain, obviously it's not, they're not talking of a physical story. So from the upper arm, from the arm and the chest comes out. From one side comes Prithu, from the king from whose name Prithvi, first king that way, technically. And from the left side comes his consort. So they are Vishnu and Lakshmi, first time on earth. Now technically they are brothers and sisters, but they get married. Very clearly it's a story which is talking of something very profound. So once earth purges its sins, there is a poem of Shurbindo in the moonlight, where Shurbindo says that man, Satyug has come, the age of gold, but to deserve it, man must first get rid of all the sins inside him. The pilot must leave the, you know, dhua behind to ascend. This is the whole poem. In last six stanzas are like this. So now this part is gone into one layer of humanity. Now earth is ready for a good king. Out of the body of Vain there emerges Prithu, the great legendary king. We all have heard about him. Now the Suryavansh will start. And on the other side emerges his wife, again Sus, I'm not sure of the name. And both of them get married and the kingdom starts. But meanwhile, what has happened? Now this is also relevant even today. You see, now everywhere people are looking for resources, trying to, you know, from petrol to rare earth and everything, you know, as if earth is running dry of resources. This is a fact actually. So it is because of the Vain's way of governing, earth has become dried of resources. So the first challenge of Prithu is that how to manage my people? I have to look after them. And the earth is not giving any yield. So he starts searching that what to do, and he discovers earth has taken the form of a cow. Cow always represents plenty. And why she represents plenty? Because even physical cow, everything of cow is useful. The cow urine, milk of course, the cow urine is helpful. Cow dung is useful. You will not find any other creature in which even the dung is helpful. So she becomes Kamadhenu in one of her stories. So cow is one who always gives plenty. So she is running away with the plenty. She is, means earth is there, physical earth. But her essence, her spirit, we may use the word, her vitality. She has said, I don't want to, because these kings like Vain will come and they will do all this. I don't want. So she is running. And King Prithu chases her with a bow and arrow. Bow and arrow chasing. He could have killed her. But always the sign of intense concentration. We can say, in fact, Upanishad says, there is a very interesting half sloka in the Upanishad where it describes concentration. One of my favorite ones. It says that concentration like an arrow which has stuck to its target. So now what happens with the arrow? And it describes that when it's stuck in the target, there is quivering for some time, then it stops. So when you concentrate, you will see the quivering mind trying to waver. Remains stuck in the target, after some time it will stop. So he is moving after her, who has assumed the form of a cow, earth, with the bow and arrow. Wherever she goes, she finds him. She says, why are you chasing me? I am a helpless cow. You are not supposed to do cow killing. So he says, yes, I don't want to destroy, but I want for my people all your resources. She says, I cannot. Your people have done this state to me. And now what has happened? Everything has dried up. So she says that I have a genuine problem. Even if I agree to give, now everything has dried up. Because once I withdrew from that, now there is nothing. You will try, you will get nothing. So then they have a little dialogue. And then she says, but yes, when do cows give? When there is a calf. So she says, if the deities, if the gods become the calf, then I will give what they need. I have just read a description from the Bhagavad. How profound this is, this last bit, cow's dialogue to Prithu. Very clearly. And people say these are all, mythological stories. It's so profound. How is the cow addressing this king, King Prithu? O king, I beg you to listen to my plea with patience. Wise men, like bees, extract the essence of knowledge from everywhere. The seeker of knowledge will find knowledge everywhere. You'll find it if you see a chappal lying on the ground. You'll find it while traveling. You'll find it in the least events of life. The ancient sages have laid out paths. What are the paths the sages have laid out? She is using the word like agriculture and yajnas for the welfare of humanity. Hari, sages are only talking about agriculture. So, Shobindu describes this in Arya. So, when he writes on Arya, what is Arya? He says it comes from the root Ar, which one way you can look at it is the foremost part of the hull. Hull, what is hull called in English? Plough. Okay, plough. So, and the Aryans were regarded as farmers and warriors. Why? Because the front part, hull, also the front part of steel sword. And then he goes on to describe, yes, we are farmers because we tilt the land of matter for the yields of plenty. So within matter, all possibilities are there. That's what the earth represents. All the godlike possibilities are there. But she'll not yield just like that. So they were farmers who yielded the plenty. And we are also warriors because we fight for sublime truth against all that is dark. So this is how the original sense of Arya comes from the root Ar. And agriculture. So here it is said agriculture and yajna. Yajna is sacrifice. If you want to only extract for your personal good, it won't be good. After some time, it will become dangerous. See how these things are relevant even today. I'll come to that. For the welfare of humanity. Recently, AI debate was going on. So there was a conference in India. This is just 3 days back. So it was called Sarvam. And the Honorable Prime Minister said something very interesting. He said that people are afraid of AI, all that is fine. But let us use AI for the welfare of humanity. I felt that it is the same truth which is being expressed. That let us do it for the welfare of humanity. Because you can use the same thing for destruction. For self-aggrandization. And you can do, which is what is, you see, the West, it doesn't share technology. It keeps it for itself and sells things. But we can do it for all. Those who follow these methods reap their benefits. So what is agriculture? You have to till the soil of your nature. Don't be satisfied with what you have. There are things in the depth. There are seed inside. Fill it with seeds, beautiful thoughts, divine thoughts. And you have to till, you have to water it with love. You have to wait upon, make sure that animals don't eat it away. Then one day you will reap the benefits. So she gives the secret and says, listen carefully. While those who deviate fail. If you treat life like a yajna, it's not just for me. Whatever I have is meant for a divine purpose. And share it. Then it will increase. But if you think it's only for me, today or tomorrow you'll be isolated and you will fall. Now she says something very interesting. Previously the grains produced by Brahma were consumed by those who disregarded discipline and dharma. You may have it today, it will be snatched from you. Even the most powerful nations must understand this. You have been given plenty, but if you misuse it, such as ancient stories, so relevant, it looks like all that is happening today. Seeing this, I hid the remaining grains within myself to preserve them. But over time, they have deteriorated because man was not using this. You may recover them through the old methods. Oh, what are the old methods? Again, sacrifice and tilling the soil of earth nature. If you wish to nourish all beings, make provisions for milking me with a calf. So who is the calf who really loves? You can plunder and loot from the earth. And you can milk it as a calf does. Calf has a need. Calf will drink what it needs and then it leaves. That's how all milkmen bring. No, calf will take what she needs. And then she will leave. And then the milkman takes it and sells. So be like a calf to the Kamadhenu. If you try to snatch like what in Vishwamitra story, the same truth comes in so many stories. Vasishtha story, same thing. So you bring milking me with a calf and a vessel for milk. Vessel also is important. Gold vessel, silver vessel, iron vessel, earthen pot. Based on what you want, that is, this vessel is the body and the basic consciousness. I will then provide all necessary resources, but first you must level me so that rainwater is retained, ensuring fertility and prosperity for all. What is leveling the earth? In us, there are parts which want, aspire. There are parts which are completely, you know, like ditches. Level. The whole being must be prepared to receive. Otherwise, it won't work. And of course, the image applies at both. This will be greatly auspicious for you and your people. So people may say, okay, but you can apply it to physical things. No, actual. Now you see, the story goes to another level. King Prithu's milking of the earth. King Prithu accepted the loving and beneficial words spoken by earth and making Swambhu Manu the calf, the original man, the manhood inside us, the true man who has been born to bridge between the heaven and earth, personally milked all the grains from her. Otherwise, beings also obtained their desired objects from earth following Prithu's example. So what are these beings? The sages. It'll be very clear, it's a very beautiful symbol story. Now I'll not go into the details of the symbol. Sages, they also milk. They all become calf and milk. Made Brihaspati the calf and milked the Vedas in the vessel of senses. See how beautiful it is coming. This is the somras, not a barley, this thing. Vedas. The gods made Indra the calf and milked nectar, vitality and strength. So yajna makes you strong. When you share things, you become much, you know, nectar, vitality and strength. The Daityas and Danavs. You can't say that, no, anybody is denied. If you do it, same, the last time we read the story of Janmeja and Nagyajna. So the Daityas and Danavas made Prahlad the calf. So among them there will be someone. Prahlad is Daityakul. But he has a converted Asura. Made Prahlad the calf and milk intoxicants and fermented drinks. So what are the intoxicants? Things which give us pleasure, and they also have a place. They've been allowed. The Gandharvas and Apsaras made Vishwavasu. Vishwavasu is one of the Gandharva, the main, actually he is the head Gandharva, the calf, and milk, music and beauty. Gandharvas are known for music and beauty. So earth will give all the seed. Why people say, why earth? Actually, it is, all these things are unique to earth nature. Gods have their music, but mother says there is no music, musical instrument comparable to the human throat. And this is well known, because the throat can actually, by modification, sing all the 8 octaves. No musical instrument can do it. It's made up of what? Mud. So people who say this is mattika, re bhai. This is not just mattika, this is matti which has been needed by the divine hands. So they milk music and beauty. The ancestor, Pitras, made Arima the calf. Arima is the warrior god. And milked offerings into an earthen vessel with devotion. Okay, the Siddhas and Vidyadharas made Kapil Dev the calf and milked mystical powers and knowledge into the vessel of the sky. Very clear symbol. Just see, why is it that only on earth you can progress? It's only having a human body you can realize God. This is well known. And yet at the end you say that this body is simply dust. Everywhere you take any spiritual path. That's why, because human body you can progress. You can find the divine. Gods don't find the divine. Obviously other beings don't find the divine. But human beings can find the divine. Because in the earth every possibility is there. So, but what you want is up to you. The Mayavis and Kimpurushas made Mayadanav the calf and milked magical abilities. What is that? remote phone AI. AI, okay. The Mayavis and Kim Purushas made Maidan of the calf and milked magical abilities. It is, I mean, all this is magical. The Yakshas, Rakshasas and ghosts made Rudra the calf and milked blood. The highest. So Rudra is their lord. So you'll see that not anybody can do it. Among them, there is always, this is what Gita says in Vibhuti Yoga. Everywhere it touches the highest point. It says, among the Naga, I am this. Among even the Dhurta, I am this. So the highest and the best among them milk blood. Blood is that kind of hard vitality which nourishes physical things. The venomous creatures made Takshak the calf and milked poison. Poison is also helpful, by the way. Streptokinase injections we doctors give for dissolving clots. Actually. So when you have a heart attack or a stroke, so nowadays means quite some time back, so you are given a injection called streptokinase. Now probably newer brands, new things may have come. It dissolves. Do you know how it is extracted? It's extracted from the venom of snakes. Actually extracted. So the snakes release it. They're made to bite. Then this venom is gathered. Then you potentiate it just the right amount. If you give more, you will see what happens when a snake bites. You develop bleeding and all, no? So it dissolves the clots. But you have to have this. So this is all science which has gone inside it. So actually the snake poison is literally given in strokes and heart disease to dissolve the clots. So even they have a place. The animals and birds made Rudra's bull and Garuda the calves and milk grass, meat and fruits. See, meat is acceptable. But for whom? So for everything there is a place in creation. The trees and mountains made banyan tree and the Himalayas the calves and milked sap and minerals. Want to find minerals? Go into these terrains, you'll find sap, those healing herbs. Sap is the giver. Earth, being the giver of all desired objects, was under Prithu's control. That's why the name Prithvi, because he's the first technical king of earth. Thus everyone made the leaders of their respective groups the calves and milked their desired objects from her. King Prithu was so pleased with her that he accepted her as his daughter and loved her as a father would. Prithu leveled the mountains to flatten the land and constructed dwellings for his subjects. He established villages, towns, cities, forts and settlements so that people could live in an organized manner. Before King Prithu, there was no division of land into villages or cities. Before King Prithu, people simply settled wherever they pleased without any system. So he's the first organizer, and see, all the secret of organizing earthly life is revealed by the seers so far back. It's relevant, contemporary even now. So this is the Srimad Bhagavat Puran. Many other beautiful stories which we'll cover one by one. Jai Ma.